Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Aaron and Liz Christie. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you are the giver of life, both life here on earth and the eternal life of heaven. We ask, O Lord, that you fill our hearts with hope and joy and the gifts that you have in store for us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Aaron and Liz, we talked about living as disciples within a marriage. And, of course, as disciples, you know, Pope Francis talks about being missionary disciples, that each of us are kind of called to be witnesses to the gospel. And kind of the immediate realm, especially in the immediate realm, in our family, in our parish, in our community, kind of this circle of influence. I thought we might talk today about how you guys are able to kind of witness to the Lord and what he's done in your life in your circle of influence.
Well, I have a kind of story around that. And I guess the story starts the way any great story starts, with a quote from the rapper Sir Daryl Francis, who once said, "I may not be on time, but yo, I'm never late." I may not be on time, but yo, I'm never late. And I love this quote, not because I'm a fan of rap music, but because I heard it on a Catholic podcast that I really enjoyed. And it goes a long way in saying about how our plan is not God's plan, and our time is not God's time. And the same podcast, the guy that was talking does what he calls airport evangelization, where he'll go into an airport and he'll pray. And this is really scary to do this if you've never done this before, but pray to have an encounter with a complete stranger that you can share God's mission with, that you could share the gospel with. And so he would say, "Dear God, please put me in front of someone where I can share your name, know that they're loved, and needs to hear your gospel message." So about a year ago, I had an opportunity to go to Nashville for a tech conference, and I generally hate tech conferences because I'm an introvert. But my best friend was going, and he was going to actually give the talk there. And so I was super excited to go hang out with him for a few days, and got to share a room, so that was cool because I'm cheap, so that worked out well. And so he doesn't really have any religious affiliation, but I probably classify him maybe as like a seeker, even if he doesn't know it. So Adam drove, I decided to fly. And so I get to the Columbus airport, and I remember walking in there and remembering this prayer for evangelization. So I really didn't want to do it. It had been a long few months, and I honestly, like, I was like, "Dear God, listen, it's been a long few months. I'm tired. I just want to sit there in my airplane seat, pop in my headphones, eat my pretzels, drink my Coke, read my book, and just, you know, why can't I get some quiet moments in my life?" But in the end, you always lose a wrestling match with God, right? And so here I am. I'm begrudgingly like, "Dear God, please put in front of me someone who I can share the gospel message with, blah, blah, blah." So I say this prayer, and then I immediately start looking over my shoulder. I'm like, "All right, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be?" So I get into the airplane, sit down. Guy sits next to me, and clearly he does not want to talk. And I'm like, awesome. Go to Charlotte, layover, same thing happens. I'm like, sweet, I got out of this. So I end up at this hotel, and this hotel is super swanky. Everyone's running around in suits and whatever. There's marble and food and everything. It's beautiful. And the lady at the front desk says, "Oh, Mr. Christie, we upgraded your room." I thought, well, I'll roll my eyes, like, sure you did, whatever. So I get into the elevator, and I realize, hey, I'm going to the penthouse. This is sweet. So get up to the floor, top floor of this hotel, and it's awesome. And there's this huge executive lounge there, which I don't know if I'm supposed to be in, but I kind of snuck into because someone was leaving. And floor-to-ceiling windows everywhere, and these little tables that are set up. And they're all overlooking the city of Nashville, and it was just beautiful. And I don't know if you've had those moments where you, like, get to some place and you're like, wow, this is really, really peaceful. Like, you're just at peace with everything. And so I'm there with my book and my pretzels. They had yogurt cover pretzels, which was awesome, and drinking my Coke. And I enjoyed it so much that I kind of quit going to any of the talks at the tech conference and just kind of enjoyed my time there. And I was so thankful that God did that for me. And the conference lasted 3 days. On the last day, I'm looking out over the city, and I get this message on my phone, and it was from a guy that I used to work with. And when I say used to work with, it had been years since I worked with him. And the message basically said, my life is a mess. I've gone through a divorce. I just want to get back to church. And I need to receive the Eucharist again. Eucharist. He used the word Eucharist. I didn't know the guy was Catholic. And he needed my help. And so I was like, oh, wow. So I go back to the room, and I show my friend. I'm like, hey, check out this message, because we both used to work with him. And so he looks at this message, and he reads it. He's like, oh, wow. And there's this long pause, and he says, he keeps using this word in here, but I don't know what this word is. And I said, what word? He said, Eucharist. I said, it may not be on time, but yo, I'm never late. So I think back, like, there at me at the airport, and I'm making a prayer to God to let me be some kind of weak arrow in his quiver, right? That God was somehow going to make me choose between, you know, reading my book and putting me to work. But God proved that he was the one who overflowed the wine at Cana. And he was saying, no, I don't have to choose between one or the other. Because I love you, I'm going to give you what you ask for. And then I'm going to give you something even more than what you ask for. I'm going to give you the peace you ask for, but I'm going to surprise you with an experience that you never would have chosen for yourself. You get to hang out with your friend. You get to eat your pretzels and drink your Coke and read your book. But then I'm going to put you to work. And I'm going to call you into service to bring two people to me that you didn't even have on your radar. Because he's a God with no limits. And my vision of him is just too shallow. And he's also a God that may not be on my time. But when he shows up, yo, he's never late.
Beautiful. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Aaron and Liz Christie. We're talking about how to witness to those in our circle of influence. We're probably going to do two segments on this, I think. But just to kind of ask, some questions based on this experience that you've shared with us is, you know, there's a lot of fear and trepidation, I think, that we all have in about, you know, kind of rendering an account of the faith, sharing Christ, witnessing to him. You know, that on the one hand, we recognize that it's necessary because the Lord asks us to do this. It's clear in the Gospels. But on the other hand, I think there's almost a level of uncomfortability, you know, especially it seems to me among Catholics, too, that to share our faith, you know. And I don't know, maybe, first of all, I think why is that there is a good question.
Honestly, I think in a lot of cases, people haven't recognized their own personal encounter with Christ. Or if they have, they've not worked out how to share that with someone. And you can't share something you don't have.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Paragraph 120 of The Joy of the Gospel, it's sort of the paragraph of the year, at least for me. You know, I keep repeating it over and over. And, you know, Pope Francis says that we're all supposed to be missionary disciples. You don't have to have a theological education or be able to explain every part of the catechism in all of its detail. You just have to encounter Christ. If Christ is present in your life, you're going to be able to render some sort of an account of that. And I think that that's part of the pressure, too, is am I going to give the right explanation? Am I going to say it right? You know, am I going to offend them? Or, you know, am I going to give the wrong impression that will lead them into heresy or something like that?
And here's the thing, though. It's like, our job is to invite. Our job is not to change their hearts.
Yeah.
That's God's job. So we need to share, but then step away. Let God do what God does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's an initial story, too. You know, like, you know, it's not, we don't have to birth, to use the midwife of Jesus analogy. You know, we don't have to completely birth them, you know. Right. We just have to render an account there in that given situation.
And that's the thing about sharing a personal story. Like, if you're going to talk to someone about faith, a lot of times you find yourself in an argument about, like, the rules or the this or the that. But when you go to your personal story, it's much harder to have an argument. Because mm-hmm. you can say, this is how Christ is working in my life. This is what he did for me. And usually people are just going to say, oh, okay. Or, they might start asking follow-up questions.
Yeah, and you know, that's, you know, I think so often when Catholics think about these situations is that it's going to become some sort of apologetics situation. And although apologetics are necessary in a certain context and everything like that, evangelization can't be reduced to apologetics. You know, that's not really what it is. It is just, how is Christ present and at work in my life? You've come to me with this need. Let me just share with you how my needs have been met.
And I'll give one really quick example of something that I do all the time. My work friends can always attest to this, is that I have a lot of Catholic t-shirts. In fact, people joke that I've got a Catholic t-shirt shelf and a secular shelf. And they're like, but I'll wear these shirts to work. And they'll be like, what's your next shirt? Or what's this one about? And they'll ask questions. Who's saying, what saint is that? And for some of them, I have to look it up because I don't know. So I'm having to read about it too. And so it's a great way to have people come to you to ask mm-hmm. questions that maybe feels a little underhanded in a way, but not really, like in a good way, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah, I think those small little ways of witnessing, you know, and that's, I think, the other idea. You know, sometimes people, I mean, that's, I think, part of the charm, pun intended, of wearing, you know, a necklace with a cross on it mm-hmm. or something like that, is it does give a tangible sign so that if people are looking for something, they know who, you know, it's kind of like why a priest wears clerics, you know, is it's a uniform. We need to let people know that he's present, he's out there. So let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help us, O Lord, to witness to your presence in our life, to those that we encounter and meet this day. And help, O Lord, all of those who are seeking you. And if we are in their path, that we might be an instrument in your hands, that they might come to know your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.